Hello, this is Melissa Locke, and I am here with Greg Meyer.
Thanks, Melissa. Good to be here.
And Chris Tripolino.
Hi.
We're going to tackle square one today. We think this is an important and rich idea, this thought that we need to go backwards before we can get back on track to where we really want to be going. It's so counterintuitive. We think progress, forward motion all the time. And I don't think it works that way. I think there are some dead ends that we run into. So what are these dead ends that we hit like?
There are times when persistence and just pushing ahead is important, but I think you need to be able to step back and look at it and realize, is the way I've been doing things going to result in any different answers or any different progress than what I've experienced so far or not? And quite often we are at these dead ends. And one of the things what we realize is that where I'm at now is not on a trajectory between square one, like what my relationship is about in the first place, why I have this job, what I hope to accomplish in the world, whatever it might happen to be, what square one is about and where I want to go. I can't really see where I am now on a straight line between those. And So I need to back up. And one of the things we find is that we are so invested in where we've gotten, and we have gotten ourselves a dead end. There is no way forward from here. But we've invested so much time and energy and built who we are around where we are that we don't want to go back. We're resistant to relearning. And so that is why we push on. And to justify this dead end, we do different kinds of things. One is that we deny that we're at a dead end. We just say, no, this is good enough. Like, relationships are like this. People just get stuck in the relationships. Or I just have a crappy job. No one really likes a job. Whatever it is. So we just deny the reality of that we're at a dead end, and we think there isn't anything on the other side. Or another thing is that we do is we blame other people for it. It's not my responsibility. I can't fix it because my spouse has all these issues, or that's the way my business is. That's the corporate structure. My boss is like that. So we blame other people. It's their fault, a system or an individual. The other thing we do then is to bully people, and that is, I don't want to face the fact that where I am is not working, and I'm not willing to do that change, and it's often very unconscious. And so what I do is I use whatever power, prestige, and that can be even the power that a victim exercises in pushing that victim status. But we do it to make other people conform to our reality and to agree to it and to not point out that it isn't working and stuff like that. So we bully other people into certifying our status quo and saying, this is as good as it can be. This isn't a dead end. It's just the end of the road. This is what life is like.
Why do we do that? Just, it's comfortable. It's known. It's what we've learned. We've worked really hard. I mean, parenting is a great example. Chris, you've got some experience with that.
Yeah, parenting has definitely been one of those places where I have felt the weight of some dead ends. And I think that whether it's the chores or the skills that you're trying to instill in your kids, or trying to, just to help them exist in a healthy way right now, sometimes we've gotten to those points where we just have to pause and realize for just a moment that we need to find a new way. We need to go back to what's really important to us about, raising healthy and whole young people that will have their whole life in front of them. We want to equip them
for
that.
Then getting their socks in the right place.
Right, yep.
And the laundry, yeah.
So parenting is really a really good example about the relationship of a square one to a dead end. Is that for most of us, where we hit dead ends with our kids, it's not because we were doing anything wrong. We were doing something that was age-appropriate. So the fact that you're at a dead end doesn't mean you've been a bad parent, or it just means that because your child is now at a different stage of development, the way that you knew to parent, you've maxed that out. Mm-hmm. You've got to change now. And how you do that is you got to go back to square one and say, who am I as a parent? What is my goal with this person? Assess them and then find where's the path forward to that now. So when you have a very young child, you basically are responsible for all the structure in life. You tell them what to do, and it's important that they obey you and follow instructions and things like that. Mm-hmm. And when you say no, you mean no. And when they get a little bit older, your job is to help them form themselves and let them exercise their own judgment and make mistakes on bigger issues and things like that. And you have to have a different path towards that. And, you know, the dead end idea would be, no, I just keep ratcheting up the consequences of the wrong behaviors so that I can continue to make them obey me. And that is a dead end that will not work. I mean, your child sooner or later is either going to shrivel or rebel.
Right. Well, and for most of us, you know, parenting, we actually want our kids to be able to think for themselves, to be able to make good decisions, and not just to trust whatever sort of authoritative voice is telling them they have to do something. And so you want to start moving into a new path.
And that's hard.
It takes going backwards sometimes. You feel incompetent.
Take it out of the parenting thing and think about the workplace. Like, I have this relationship with my employees who are learning their job. As a new supervisor, I basically told people what their responsibilities were, and everybody did it, and we were working all right. But then people kind of got tired of that. They knew their jobs. They didn't need that from me anymore. But then I was insecure, so then what's my role if they don't really need me to do anymore? So I get more authoritarian, and they get more resistant and resentful over that. And But I don't want to stop doing it because I don't know what else to do. That was my job. Mm-hmm. And to say, well, I'm going to learn a different way to be your boss just sounds like, what's that all about? You know, that's pretend stuff. But what I really need to do is go back to square one and say, what does this business need me to do in order to lead these people to the next level in our business? And yes, I won't know how to do that. And that's scary because for a while, no one needs me. And that's threatening. As a parent, well, I knew how to do that. I don't know what it looks like to help a child think for themselves and make decisions for themselves, except for to say, well, I'm just being this happy-go-lucky parent who lets their kids do whatever they want to do. And so you're in that learning time where you are experiencing incompetence. And that's scary. It's vulnerable. And you know, the thing is, when you let go of what you did know, you don't know for sure you're going to figure out what's on the other side.
And Melissa, I think this is exactly what, like, this is why we are talking about these things, why we're talking about dead ends, because we find a power in noticing these moments. And so that's what we want to be able to do, to help each other notice and name those moments where we're at those dead ends. Because there's more to it, that we have an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, this reminds me of another really powerful concept that we talk about with the growth zone. We often want to stay in our comfort zone, and we, of course, want to avoid the danger zone where we're having a lot of anxiety. So can we connect those two a little bit? How do you see that connection between
the comfort zone and
the growth zone?
Once you've mastered what got you up to your dead end, by the time you're really stuck, you probably are pretty good at that. That's your comfort zone now. Mm-hmm. You've established that. The thing is, it defies growth because you've maxed out what you can do. And like with parenting, sometimes mm-hmm. that simply doesn't work. In other cases, it just means you will never get anything more out of the relationship, out of your job, out of your understanding of God, out of whatever, unless you are willing to somehow get beyond this dead end and to rethink. And so I think we need to do is be willing to reach into that danger zone. Like, what would it be like to parent kids where I let them be responsible for more of their decisions? What would it be like to say the way I supervise my employees up till now, they really don't need that anymore, and I need to rethink a whole different way of equipping and training them? What would it mean to say, my understanding of God was that, God is this person who loves me and kind of tells me what to do, and I read my Bible and I get instructions to say, actually, it's a lot more complicated than that. And other people who don't see God the way I do seem to be having really fulfilled lives and understandings of God and in the world around them. You know, what would it be like to entertain some of those thoughts, kind of get out of my comfort zone and start thinking about that and dealing with that and see how it enriches my life.
Mm-hmm. It's reminding me of who said the unexamined life is not worth living. Socrates?
Henry Plato? David Thoreau, I think.
Really?
I think so.
Well, someone out there knows that.
Google that and put it on the comments for us.
We're not really that smart, but I think the unexamined life is not worth living, but it's also kind of tiring to always be examining your life and everything. Like today, a wonderful moment, like I decided to walk here to the office to record this rather than drive. And my rut, sort of unexamined rut, is that I drive places. And, you know, it's obvious on a nice day to walk. And I, as I was walking, because I was thinking about square one, I thought, gosh, I'm really more aware of these people that I'm seeing, and I felt like I was really I would have missed out if I had driven. And so it was a really mundane, simple example of what can happen if we let ourselves examine our habits and be willing to go back to square one. Today, that was not that hard for me. But if we're talking about parenting and in our workplace and with our ideas of how we fit into the universe and with God and with our, you know, relationship with our belongings, that's all a lot more difficult and uncomfortable. And I think just like learning how that's going to feel is, we can really help each other.
It's a vulnerable place. And I think, you know, community, intentional community, where you have these significant relationships and you share deeply with each other, is important, because when I start saying, I'm having this problem, like I'm really kind of stuck about this, I don't know how to go forward, and for other people to say, yeah, I've been at that dead end, and this is what I did, and I came out.
Yeah.
It gives me, it's like, I can't know from where I am that, well, should I push on, or is it safe to go back and to rethink what is my relationship with my kids, what is my relationship as a leader, or my role as a leader? But someone else says, no, I did that, and I found something. Gives me the strength to try it, to risk it.
Mm-hmm. Gives you a little hope.
And yeah. Maybe some pointers
some
along the way.
Information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even you being in a community where you have those kinds of conversations and you hear someone else describing a place, it's a very different place. Like, I don't have that kind of a relationship with my spouse, or I don't do those kinds of things. You're talking about something that is not on my path. You know, maybe I'm at a dead end. I'm kind of excited to go back to square one and say, mm-hmm. What could it be like? Like, what could my transportation to work be like in the mornings?
Yeah.
Is it really, you know, my dead end is, it's just getting from point A to point B, but you're telling me that, like, going to work could be part of your day, like,
yeah.
Something you look forward to, and things happened, and they fueled you, they gave you ideas and hopes and even positive experiences
yeah.
for your day.
So if we can see our dead ends as exciting places a little bit more, mm-hmm. and okay places to be, that would be great.
And I think that comes from sort of building this culture of growth that we're trying to maintain and whatever, but that it really is sort of counterintuitive. It's always going to be easiest to sort of seek that stasis, finding those things that really are kind of protecting our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that we don't need a comfort zone. You know,
yeah.
that's something that we actually do benefit from, you know, having places and times where we are able to rest and to recharge and to reflect and make choices about how it is that we are going to move forward and be challenged and move into those areas of growth.
Mm-hmm. Exercising that growth zone increases your comfort zone so that you have more fueling time there to go mm-hmm. into these forays of learning and growth in other areas. Also, it protects your comfort zone. I believe, at least in the world of relationships, if we don't work on the growth side of those relationships, the comfort zone of our relationships will gradually disappear.
Oh, it shrinks, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't run a relationship off of momentum.
And so practicing your growth zone, I think it can be as simple as walking to work instead of driving to work one day. And there are probably other examples that people can think of to practice when it's easy and not wait till you get into those really tough dead ends to use your people and be a little bit uncomfortable. And I think patience, being honest with ourselves and patient with ourselves, we can help each other with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And understanding that growth isn't constant, you know, that we shouldn't expect that of ourselves. I think we often hold on to some idea that this should be easier. I should be growing. I should be like
in every area of my life
constantly, yep.
All the time.
And I should never get caught in a dead end. No, often mm-hmm. you do need to get caught in dead ends. So you needed to go down that, but then you also need to go back and do something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the pattern. That's how growth happens.
Wow, this has been a great conversation. Thank you. Thank you, Chris and Greg.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening, everyone out there. We like to talk about stuff that really matters, and we hope you are finding that it matters as well. We have our Sunday messages that you'll find here on our podcast channel, as well as these leftover podcasts. And boy, do we love leftovers around here. So please keep enjoying them, chewing on it with other people, and let us know what you're learning.